Welcome to Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Go ahead and do me a favor. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Remso101. That's R-E-M-S-O-101. Follow me. I'll follow you back. That way we'll go ahead and expand our ever-loving Liberty family. For old listeners and new listeners alike, gonna go ahead and do you one more reminder. We are currently funding for a super special project where we are accepting cryptocurrencies only for this one. And if you go ahead and also send me an email with your address from whatever wallet, whether it's Ethereum, Bitcoin, what have you, and you go ahead and send me that, I'll go ahead and add your name to a list. So you go ahead and get updates for what's happening. You'll get exclusive swag and so much more out of this. You'll be part of the premier club for this project we're going with. We'll go ahead and give you more updates on that later. But for new listeners, don't worry about that. Just want you to sit back and relax and enjoy the show. We've got one mission here, definitely cheesy, total ripoff, but I think it's a little endearing after all this time we spent together, old listeners and new listeners alike, loving it every day. What we want to do is go ahead and make freedom fun again. The ideas of individual liberty, free markets, limited government, the concept that I do me, you do you, we don't use the government as a violent middleman, and we go ahead and live peaceful, prosperous lives. Common sense for you and me, but radical thinking for many in our country. Radical thinking that doesn't just draw a line between classes. Radical thinking that doesn't just draw a line between races. But one thing that we have constantly seen, it's definitely nothing new, is a line between generations, especially when we look at those active in the political sphere. There is no greater divide than the Bernie bros and those that, you know, are more on the Clinton camp. But when it comes to the actual battle for understanding the future of the party, it seems that with the Democrats, they've essentially just admitted we are all socialists now. With the Republican Party, for that matter, it's a little bit more complicated. Not only is it split up into factions in terms of ideology, but also a lack of communication, a lack of understanding the mentality of younger Republicans, more millennials, Gen Xers, and then more the baby boomers that still make up a large voting block of the party. Now, obviously, we can't just say, okay, let's wait for them all to die and then just take things over. No, we have to learn to live amongst each other, but that also means we have to understand how we see things from the other side. And this is a very complicated issue. One I cannot do alone, so I want to go ahead and bring on our guest. You've seen her work over at The Resurgent in Rare Liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, Autumn Price. Autumn, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
So should we just wait for all the old people to die?
No, definitely not.
With this problem, it's been a long time coming. We've had folks on in the past that have brought up the fact that, you know, there needs to be an honest conversation about, you know, what actually matters to the party as a whole. And I think that's kind of an unfair question because it's so complicated. Do you think the divide is as bad as some people say, or do you think there's something that can unite Republicans, both young and old alike?
I think the divide is real, but I do think that the party can make a few moves to sort of unite younger people and older people. I think we saw something similar in the Reagan administration. I think we just sort of have to, my perspective would be, we need to bring the focus back to economic issues as a party.
I would completely agree with that, because there's nothing more annoying now than understanding whether or not somebody is a free trader or a fair trader. And, you know, that's just looking internationally. When we go ahead and look at more domestic issues, it's understanding, okay, are we going to subsidize one industry or another? Republicans hate to pick winners and losers, except until they need to go ahead and pick winners and losers. It seems that when it comes to looking at issues that go ahead and affect the inner city, a lot of old, you know, I'm going to stop calling them older. I'm going to start calling them more senior. More senior Republicans are going to target taxes and regulations, and that's absolutely right. But a lot more people around our neck of the woods are going to say, you know, let's go ahead and talk about occupational licensure. Let's go ahead and talk about economic freedom zones, things like that. it seems that one section of the party wants to go ahead and just fix problems right now without looking at the main issue, while the rest of us are looking at the more long-term effects. We know we'll never get Social Security, but they're getting it now. We know that app-based services giving power back to the end user are more important, but they want to go ahead and protect the trucking industry. When it comes to economics, what do you think is the biggest divide between that?
I would say for now, probably healthcare. An NBC poll recently found that healthcare is the most important issue to millennials, and not only millennials. I mean, this is a big deal for senior Republicans as well. A lot of them, I think, feel, you know, even they've lost out on their health insurance, and they felt it bite into their pocket some. And I think that that's sort of an issue that the GOP really needs to, you know, say, hey, this is a free market issue. The free market can more than provide here. Everyone wants, you know, more bang for their buck. And the way to get that is to just back off, you know, let the people do what the people need, you know, let the market run its course. And, Obamacare was a poison pill for that. And I think, you know, the older generation is really seeing, you know, hey, this isn't the best thing. This is hurting us. And I think maybe the GOP really needs to work on messaging and saying, you know, hey, younger folks, this is hurting you the most. This is going to bite your wallet the most. And I really think we need to work on that and say, you know, hey, the free market's best suited to handle this issue.
Do you think the biggest problem with that is specifically the messaging, or do you think it's also the policy?
No, it's definitely a policy issue. I mean, you know, we see so many senators, congressmen, you know, who claimed, you know, to run on a liberty message, you know, hey, we're going to repeal Obamacare, you know, like Senator McCain, Murkowski, Collins, you know, as soon as we get, you know, elected, we'll repeal Obamacare and we'll put more money back in your pocket, allow you to make the choices that you want to with your health care. And they all flip-flopped, you know, for some reason or another, to the point to where the tax bill had to get rid of the individual mandate. And, you know, while that's an excellent step, you know, we have so much more ground that we need to cover. You know, opening up across state lines is great, but we really need to back off. You know, the government really needs to just say, you know, hey, like Senator Paul, Congressman Amash have been saying, the free market handles this issue best, and the more competition, the lower the prices. So no, it's not just a messaging issue. I would say that it is, probably a messaging issue that turned into a policy issue and vice versa. You know, we had a great message when President Obama was in office. It fired people up. I mean, it's why Trump got elected. You know, we had this message that, you know, hey, get the government off your back. You know, they're taking your money. They're biting into your wallet. You're losing your health insurance. You're losing your doctor. Obama said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And that turned out to not be true. And, you know, I think that once we got back in power, we were like, oh, you know, hey, we can continue with this. We can keep some of these parts of Obamacare, keep some of the socialized medicine, and we don't need to keep any of it. You know, that's hurting us more. We need to get rid of it, and we need to get back on track to a true free market healthcare system that allows the consumers to choose what they want to purchase, how they want to purchase it, whether they want to purchase it in Montana if they live in Virginia. You know, the healthcare.gov has done nothing but cripple consumers and force them to purchase into this one big, you know, fix-all government plan that didn't even fix anything.
Okay, so kind of a follow-up question to that, and you hit a lot of good points there, and this might sound a little bit loaded, but do you think Republican leadership has failed to really, you know, appreciate millennial Republicans, you know, the activists, the volunteers? Because I think everything you mentioned, that's something that could really unite a lot of people when you just look at the common sense understanding of it. But it seems that, you know, when you get a lot of younger Republicans involved and they want to have an input, it's just from what I've seen, it's more of an outsider sticking in because I don't really play into party politics. It always seems that it's like, okay, I'm glad you're here for my photo shoot. I'm glad you're here to go ahead and give a couple talking points on this important issue. But, you know, go after the cameras are, you know, put down, go away. Do you think they appreciate younger people?
No, I don't. You know, I think that maybe based on their campaign slogans, they tried to, or they might have thought that they tried to. But I would definitely say that the GOP has largely failed. Millennials, you know, Gen Xers, I mean, you name it. You know, we see you know, the rise of this continued democratic socialism. We saw it in 2016 with Bernie Sanders. We're seeing it now more and more with more Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And part of the reason why that has been so effective is because of his messaging. You know, if you break down those policies, they don't hold water. I mean, you know, how are we going to pay for that? But it's his messaging that really hit home. And I think that the Republicans have really failed to do that. We've been so focused on, you know, the marriage debate and, you know, just all these things that, well, I don't want to say social issues because those are important too, but we've been so focused on how we can bring things back to the way they were that we're not paying attention to the changes in our culture and the changes in our economy. A prime example of how the party has failed is with the tax bill. You know, the tax bill is great and it's going to do a lot of great things, but where are the spending cuts? You know, millennials, our generation, the spending cuts, we need that. You know, it's this billion, trillions of dollars of wasteful spending. That's what's going to bite our generation. And, you know, I think that millennials are starting to wake up and see that, you know, hey, we don't want tax cuts without spending cuts. We need spending cuts too. And I think a lot of that is, you know, sort of the establishment Republican idea. You know, I think that Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and all of them, I think they're great guys, but I think that they've really failed to tap into maybe what President Trump started to tap into. And that was the, you know, the millennial movement, this new idea that we can control, you know, what to do with our own money. And we saw that, you know, during Obama, we saw that during his campaigns and it worked for the Democrats, but the Republicans have largely failed to motivate millennials. I mean, the same NBC poll I referenced earlier, only 19% of millennials identify as Republicans and 71% of them say that the GOP doesn't care about them.
You don't think the larger issue at hand, though, is the fact that more millennials, they don't necessarily like the idea of socialism, but they like the idea more of, you know, a centralized economy. You know, I want freedom when it's convenient, but when it comes to the bigger issues, trade, healthcare, you name it, they still want the government to go ahead and provide a handout to a degree.
Yeah, no, I do think that. And I think that while the Democrats have been great with their messaging, they know that they're intentionally spreading, you know, that sort of false information. I mean, like I said, those policies don't hold water. There is no such thing as free college. There is no such thing as free healthcare. Someone always pays for it, you know, as Milton Friedman said. And I think that, you know, we millennials do have that idea, you know, of the government can take care of it. The government can take care of it. But when it comes back to bite, then they're up in arms. You know, yeah. And I think that the GOP really needs to get back to the original conservative principles of individual liberty and prosperity and say, hey, you know, if the government has its hands off, you know, everything, it has its hands off you and hands off me. And I think that the majority of millennials today, they say, you know, hey, I want a free education. You know, I would like to have my student, you know, I really want my student loans forgiven. But they don't really see the harm that has on their neighbors, you know, which is ironic because they're criticizing the baby boomers and for putting off that burden onto us when they don't realize that sort of burden would be placed on their own grandchildren. And there's sort of a hypocrisy there that I really think that they're kind of ignoring. And I think that if the GOP, you know, gets back to its original principles and focuses on, you know, information instead of just catchy slogans of, you know, make America great again, okay, let's do it. You know, let's show the younger voters, let's show these millennials that the free market is the best approach, that, you know, these things can be dealt with without all of these mandates and taxes and tariffs and all of these things that I don't even think millennials understand. I mean, if you know, ask the average millennial, hey,
oh, the economic illiteracy is rampant.
It is. And, you know, and that's part of the problem. And that's why, you know, democratic socialists have been able to just come in and be like, you know, hey, free college, it works. This is how we're going to pay for it. Because the economic illiteracy is so great that no one really understands what they're talking about anymore.
Exactly. Autumn, we're going to go ahead and continue this conversation, but first we got to go ahead and pay the bills around here. Folks, before we go ahead to our commercial break, want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors this half hour. I'm not a day trader. I'm not an investor. You look at my math grades growing up and they were pretty much a disaster. But if you want your money to grow overnight in a very low risk way where you basically wait long term for higher gains without you even really having to pay much attention to it, check out helium.com where you can go ahead and let your money grow itself for absolutely nothing more than an initial $5 investment. They go ahead and take 50% of the gains. That sounds like a lot, but the more you put in, the more you earn. And trust me, it's done wonders for my portfolio along with so many other people. Check out joinhelium.com. That's joinhelium. joinhelium.com. That's joinhelium.com. I'm Remso W. Martinez at the Remso Republic. Hang on tight. We'll be right back after this.
Join the Remso Republic on Patreon today.
Hey, that's really good.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rims of the Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Lynchburg is a city that embodies the spirit of service Virginia is known for. I'm Albert Billingsley, and I'm running to promote free enterprise, accountability, and trust in the Lynchburg City Council. Check out my website, billingsleyforlynchburg.com. And help us let Lynchburg lead the way. I'm Albert Billingsley, and I approve this message.
Hello, my name is Alex Merced, and I am a libertarian. I invite you to join me in spreading the message of liberty. Come down to alexmerced.com, where you can find videos and lots of other media to help educate you about liberty and more. I've also created LearnEconomicsNow.com as a quick way to show anyone the basics about economics. Libertarian101.com, a great starting place to learn what is libertarianism, how to get involved, and how to move things forward. IntroToLiberty.com, where you can learn more about how to spread the message of liberty through positive messaging from people like myself, Larry Sharp, and Michael Pickens. And don't forget libertarianpodcast.com, where you can find an exhaustive list of libertarian podcasts for you to enjoy. This is Alex Merced. Follow me on social media such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and more. And thank you very much.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
Hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over, engine trouble, and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. We're continuing our conversation from earlier. Autumn, you brought up something which is so vitally important, and I think this is the biggest issue with people. It's the fact that when you look at the economic illiteracy, the basic flawed understanding of how supply side, free market, capitalism works, the idea that free enterprise can actually help more people, not by guaranteeing outcome, but by guaranteeing freedom of opportunity, is lost amongst people. And it's sad when I see grown adults with the same problem, too. They're in their 60s and 70s, and they still think the trade policies of, you know, 100 years ago that led us into decades of disaster still work. And it's so surprising because you see the GOP trying to push out more millennial individuals. Mia Love is fantastic. Joy Villa, who's been a guest on the show in the past, is phenomenal. And so many others. But at the same time, if you took Trump out of 2016, what you would have most likely had was President Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. What do you think it was about that curmudgeon communist that was able to actually appeal to so many people in our age demographic?
I think it's the word free. And I think it's the fact that so many in our generation have no idea what that means. And the fact that it means nothing at all. You know, I referenced Friedman earlier. Some, you know, nothing is ever free. And something can never be acquired from nothing. You know, I was a government minor at Liberty University, and something we had to read, you know, right off the bat in my government 200 class, my first semester at Liberty, was free to choose economics in one lesson, you know, and I mean, how many millennials do you know that have read that? You know, how many millennials do you know outside of, you know, our circle would be able to sit down?
How many professors do you know at other colleges that are even assigning that?
Yeah, I mean, universities, you know, and I mean, I was just baffled, you know, to you know, go to a place like CPAC and, you know, speak with someone who, you know, went to some other university, and they just, you know, no idea, you know, no idea what a tariff is, no idea what a tax is, no idea what a 401k is. And, you know, one example I've been talking with people about, and I know you're pretty passionate about this as well, and that's cryptocurrencies.
You were preaching to the choir.
You know, we see people are like, oh, you know, well, If we had the government's hands off, you know, it wouldn't work. It would be crony capitalism. It would be too much. It would just, there's no way our economy could sustain it. And, you know, I say, okay, well, you know, you look at the price of Litecoin, just as an example, because people can typically, you know, understand that figure better. Litecoin 1 year ago was worth $3.76 for one Litecoin, and today it's $2.43. Then there's no government interference with these cryptocurrencies. And I mean, like you said, it's an illiteracy issue. I mean, public schools, I mean, have really dropped the ball, and colleges, private colleges, public universities have dropped the ball when it comes to informing the people that are going to vote, and Republicans aren't doing anything about it. I mean, we have a few, you know, we have Rand Paul, we have Ted Cruz, you know, really trying to say, you know, hey, the free market is best equipped to handle situations like this. I love the comparison between USPS and UPS. You know, USPS is government run, and you know, who knows of a nice USPS? I mean, they're run down. The mail is slow. I mean, it's awful. And then you look at UPS, and I mean, they're on the ball, you know, they're, you know, privately owned. And I think that if we start giving real life examples like that, and we stop, you know, just saying, oh, you know, by this, if we do this in 2020, we can have this, in 2024, it'll be like this. We need to start using real life examples. We need to get to the root of this issue and say, hey, we've got a mismessaging problem going on here. We've got an issue to where a large amount of our voters think that college can be free. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. If we hadn't have had Trump, who is this phenomenon that I still don't think anyone can explain, we would have had President Bernie Sanders. I mean, you know, not counting the whole rigging of the DNC, and that's because he was able to energize millennial voters like no one else has before. I mean, except for, you know, maybe arguably Reagan or Clinton, but, you know, we, as in, you know, younger voters. But part of the problem is that Bernie knows what he's, you know, he's, if he does know what he's saying, he knows that it's false. You know, Elizabeth Warren and even Hillary Clinton can have a few touches here and there. They know what they're saying is false. Or if they do honestly believe it, then we're in worse shape than I thought, you know.
Oh, it's terrifying. And I mean, you're touching on something which I think even goes to the deeper root of the problem. And the metaphor I've been using recently is that when it comes to anything right now, it's like we just want to go ahead and put a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to take the bullet out, and then you've got to stitch that thing up before the person bleeds out to death. And it isn't, you know, it goes beyond just a lack of understanding. I think the biggest issue, and I'm going to get real meta here for a second, folks, so just bear with me. This might seem like it's going on a winding road, but trust me, I've got a point to make. I think it comes down to a general lack of individual philosophy and understanding of a person's place in the world. Because you describe what actual socialism is to people. What my former boss, Matt Kibbe, used to say was, hey, socialism kills. It's all about force. It's all about coercion. It's all about lack of regard for the individual and looking at an egalitarian view of the collective. And, you know, I got to pitch, you know, crypto again because you went ahead and pushed my button there. I got to go ahead and mention it. You know, great situation. I was at a restaurant recently. It's one of my favorite places in Fairfax, Virginia. And the waiter that I usually get, because I go there pretty regularly, he brought me my check and he was like, hey, I don't want to bug you, but I just want to let you know our system, our boss, they no longer will take gratuity on your card. So anything you put there, they're just going to go ahead and pay for the meal. So unless you have cash, I won't get a tip. And I felt really bad for this guy, but he wasn't really bugging me. Like, I feel for him. And I always get great service there. So I was like, listen, I don't have cash right now. And I was thinking, because I didn't really want to go run to an ATM, I looked at him and was like, do you accept Bitcoin? And the guy downloaded a Bitcoin wallet on the spot. And this was such a beautiful opportunity for me to go ahead and preach to him the idea of what crypto is. I didn't mind paying like a 30% fee for the transfer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's this idea that, you know, money is a social construct at the end of the day. And when you really look into it, you look at any working class millennial, they understand that money is an extension of not just their time, it's their very essence, it's their very being, it's their physical labor. If we go ahead and understand that sound money is whatever voluntary cooperation leads us to citing this medium, you know, method of transacting value for value is, that's a revolutionary thought. And I spoke to him more about this stuff. And this guy's a liberal, but mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, he was just like, man, you're making so much freaking sense right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, give me your Bitcoin address, brother. I'm about to tip you and illuminate your world.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. And, you know, I mentioned quite a few times, we really need to, you know, focus on economic issues. And I mean, obviously I do have some social issues that I'm very passionate about, but another example is, you know, Jeff Sessions' new policy that he announced, or was it the last week, about, you know, federal crackdowns on recreational marijuana. And another way I think that we can really bridge the divide is we need to back off the marijuana. You know, we need to, you know, as a party, I mean,
even just from a constitutional level, what he did was he basically said, federalism be damned. I'm taking the feds to a new level.
We're Republic, you know, we're conservatives. We're supposed to care about, you know, we're supposed to be all about limited government. And, you know, you'd be surprised. Well, I mean, I'm sure, you know, how many conservatives, you know, you see championing that. And I'm like, no, like we need to back off this. You know, we need to say, that's a states' rights issue. I mean, it is. I, you know, I have read every argument under the sun, I feel like, and anybody that argues that that's a federal issue and is just, I don't know where they're getting it. And I mean, I feel like we, you know, I've referenced that poll of, you know, 19% of millennials that identify with the Republican Party. I feel like we shut off 10% of them last week. You know, I mean, that's an issue that's important to millennials. They feel, you know, like, hey, they see the Republican Party as being this restrictive, you know, party that's all about, you know, cracking down. And that's not what conservatism is supposed to be. And that's just an issue that Republicans really need to kind of let go. They need to, you know, say, hey, it's states' rights issue. You know, Congressman Garrett introduced a bill last week from, you know, he's from Virginia, that would decriminalize marijuana at the federal level. And, you know, it's men like him, you know, Rand Paul, Justin Amash, Thomas Massey, that need to be the face of our party instead of men like Mitch McConnell, men like Paul Ryan, you know, these establishment Republicans that millennials, they have no interest in listening to. But if you ask most of them, have you ever heard of Justin Amash? Have you ever heard of Thomas Massey? Have you ever heard of, you know, they might have heard of Ted Cruz or Rand Paul, but most of them, they haven't. You know, they don't know really this new face of the Republican Party that I feel like we need to be pushing to the front. I said way back when the election first started, my dream race was a Rand Paul versus Bernie Sanders race.
Ted Cruz versus Bernie, because I love seeing that.
Ted Cruz would have been nice. I think that would have been the two, economic philosophies at war right there. Freedom versus what I think of is, slavery to the government. And again, like you referenced, that economic illiteracy. And I think that we saw that. Without the Electoral College, Trump wouldn't have won.
We would have been so screwed.
And we've got to fix that, because we're being obliterated in these state and local races.
Exactly, because the Electoral College is not going to help Virginia the next go around. The Electoral College is not going to help anywhere where it really matters. And you look at a lot of these new progressive organizations popping up. They understand that. Democrats at the grassroots level are not necessarily ramping up for 2020, but they're ramping up for 2018. They're looking at 2019, and then they're looking at 2021 and 22 and 23. They understand that, and it's really funny because now they care about federalism. They understand that ultimately it doesn't matter who's in the White House, because they can't draft laws. But you have enough rogue, renegade, progressive lawmakers in power, and what you have is a federal government more terrifying than anything we've ever witnessed in our lifetime.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and it's amazing, progressives are suddenly concerned about executive orders and federal judicial overreach. But one of the reasons why the Bernie bros were so successful is progressives got that. They really understood, these local smaller issues. And, I'm raised in Virginia, lived in Virginia all of my life. Virginia, for the most part, is a conservative state. We have areas like Newport News and obviously Nova that are super liberal.
The People's Republic. I live here. It's basically a communist haven.
Yeah. And if you look at a map, a map of Virginia, it's covered in red. But we've got to work on our messaging up in those areas. And, like you said, the Electoral College isn't going to win. And our candidates are being obliterated, and that's because of these issues that we're so, just fierce about. I mean, marijuana, we've picked marijuana as a hill that we're going to die on. We've picked, seemingly nowadays, the individual mandate, portions of Obamacare that we're going to keep, and traditional marriage. And we've picked these hills that we're going to just die on, and it has killed our party. It's not so much as, hey, you can think this way. It's, hey, this is our party platform. And it's shut down millennials. Instead of saying, hey, I believe marriage should be between a man and a woman, which I personally believe. Instead of being that way, we need to say, hey, the government shouldn't be involved in marriage at all. Why do we even have marriage licenses? Why does the government need to be involved in that, period? And I just think that if we get back to that, we get back to the party of true liberty, true fiscal conservatism, true individual responsibility, that we can really sort of take back some of these, these millennials that are so, they place seemingly all of their hopes in Bernie, because, like you and I mentioned earlier, if you asked most of them, to really talk in depth about a Bernie policy or really define socialism, they can't do it. They don't want to talk about Venezuela. They don't want to talk about how communism and socialism have literally killed people. They don't want to talk about that. They say, oh, well, real socialism's never been tried, and all of these things, because they don't want to talk about those realities. It's killed people. People are starving in Venezuela.
And Bitcoin is saving them. Just had to throw that out there.
Yeah, but. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to, acknowledge that is part of the problem, is that it has failed and it is failing. And the only way to sort of get our economy booming again is the free market. And I do certainly have my faults with the GOP tax bill, but I know you saw this too. As soon as that thing was signed, companies started saying, hey, we're gonna give raises, we're gonna give bonuses. A few electric companies up in the Northern Virginia area, you know, announced, you know, hey, we're gonna cut back on our bills, you know, since the tax rate was cut from 35% to 21%. And I mean, that wasn't government force, you know, that was something that those companies decided to do. And you know, we see a lot of the, as you like calling them, the Bernie Bros, you know, $15 minimum wage, you know, they're really set on that $15 minimum wage when, you know, my counter is, why do we even have a minimum wage?
Well, I've been calling them cowards. It's like, why not say $100?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I mean, why not double down?
You know, and I just think that's so ridiculous. You know, I'm like, okay, you want a $15 minimum wage. One of us is going to lose our job to pay for that. You know, we both work at the same place. You want a $15 minimum wage. Which one of us is gonna be laid off? You know, which one of us loses our position here? Because it doesn't work. You know, government mandated economic policies fail. I mean, you look through the history of tariffs and taxes. You can't tax a nation into prosperity. You can't force a company to pay its employees this and that and the other. And, you know, again, we've talked about irony quite a bit. It was just so ironic to me to, you know, see on Twitter what had happened, you know, after the tax bill was signed.
Everyone was going to die.
Yeah, I mean, we were all going to die. And, you know, same with net neutrality. We were going to die. We weren't going to be able to afford to feed our families. We were just going to die. And
I was just really curious. It's like, if everyone died after the tax bill, like, how many more people were left to be murdered by the GOP with net neutrality? It's just...
Exactly. I mean, you know, I would care about this, but I'm already dead. You know,
I'm not paying like $20 to send a message on Facebook. Last I checked, Netflix is still pretty dang cheap.
Yeah, you know, day whatever 43, I still haven't been, you know, arrested or still haven't had to pay $25.99 to send this tweet. You know, but I mean, it's true. If I feel like if we really, as a party, or even if you know, if the two, you know, if the Republican Party cannot be saved. And I am still a bit optimistic about that. But if it cannot be saved, and if we must, you know, go down with the two-party system, have a third party, what we must do for conservatism, not the Republican Party, what we must do for conservatism, we really go back to what it means to being a conservative. It doesn't mean, you know, hey, marijuana should be illegal at the federal level. It doesn't mean, you know, hey, marriage should only be between one man and one woman as mandated by the government. Again, I have my own personal beliefs about that, but that's not a government issue, and that is certainly not a conservative position. And, you know, we really need to back away from this big government hand to where we're like, oh, you know, hey, I support small government, you know, when it comes to things like taxes, but I really want to be, you know, big government when it comes to things like, you know, recreational marijuana and marriage and, you know, just all sorts of things that I feel like we've started compromising on, in places that, you know, these were campaign promises, you know, well, maybe we could have some socialized medicine. Maybe we could have some, you know, federal government healthcare. No, you know, we spent 8 years preaching against that. And, you know, now that we have all three branches of government, we're suddenly just going to pick and choose some of it. And voters are going to remember that. You know, I think President Trump really tapped into some great things during his campaign. And he certainly changed the game for good, but we've got a real messaging and policy issue. And we really need to do some introspection instead of pointing at the Democratic Party, because I mean, they certainly have plenty of baggage, but that hasn't worked.
Going to die out.
It already has.
Very soon. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I agree. It's like people know. I mean, the jig is up. It's mm-hmm. just, it's not even an open secret. We saw in Virginia alone, Republicans just didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they voted for another side. It's more embarrassing when they don't even show up.
Right. And, you know, like I said, we've got to get rid of this, you know, a lot of, you know, I interviewed Nick Freitas last week, you know, talk about what he thinks we can do to move forward. And I mean, one of the things he said is, you know, there's this perception that the GOP has become this crony capitalistic party. you know, when it comes to establishment Republicans. And, you know, I'd have to agree with him on that. I know so many people that, you know, they see Mitch McConnell, they see Paul Ryan, even Donald Trump, you know, they see them and they're like, oh, they're just a bunch of rich guys. They don't care about us. And, you know, we've got to shed that and say, you know, hey, we just want to give everyone, you know, equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome. And, you know, show that, hey, the American dream does work. You've got to work for it, but it does work. It can work. It has worked.
Exactly. And,
you know, people can say what they want, you know, about Trump. They can say what they want about, you know, Mitch McConnell and all of them. But we have so many bright voices in the GOP that have just come from the ground to the top. I mean, you look at Senator Tim Scott, you know, raised by a single mother. I mean, look at him. He's, you know, he's great. And, you know, he's a prime example of someone who, you know, I feel like maybe the Bernie bros and, you know, some of those, you know, other Hillary voters and stuff could really relate to. The progressives could, you know, say, hey, you know, my story sounds a lot like yours. But he is a conservative because he made it on his own. He didn't make it by holding the hand of the federal government. He made it by climbing to the top. And working his way up and, you know, really fighting for what he believes in. And, you know, Mia Love and Marco Rubio. I mean, I have plenty of qualms with Senator Rubio, but I mean, he's a success story as well. You know, we have plenty of them. We just need to get them out there.
Exactly. Autumn, I think that's the best place to go ahead and leave off the show. I mean, we've covered so much ground today, and this is such an important conversation. We've definitely got to continue again. If folks want to go ahead and, you know, follow you on social media, check out all your work and all that jazz, how could they do so?
You can follow me on Twitter at Autumn Dawn Price. My articles, Rare, everything, rare.us. You can find me at Autumn Price there. The same with The Resurgent under Autumn Price.
Awesome. Autumn, thank you so much for coming on. We covered a lot of ground today, and we'll have to get you back on the program again.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Folks, this comes down to this, and we covered a lot of different things, but the main principle is this. If you don't put the individual first, we're all going down together. And, you know, we joke about Venezuela, but what we see is a society under siege of a literal Leviathan. You know, we joked about Bitcoin a little bit, but, you know, it's understanding what really is money. Where is the value for value exchange? What is understanding what is yours and what is not the government's? We're seeing Bitcoin miners alone being arrested. It's not necessarily illegal there, but since when does a corrupt regime care about legality? What we need to understand is that if the individual is not free, nobody is. We're either sharecropping or we're getting ready to be slaves. But unless man is free, there is no liberty for anyone. And that's where things get really bad. But if you want to go ahead and help things out, I know a little thing you can do. You can go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Helps us reach out to new listeners, get us on those trending charts for news and politics. We did so well last season. Help us get up there again. It looks really cool. Go ahead and support the show, producer Ryan, the rest of Team Republican, myself, for as little as $1 a month. You throw that away in pocket change, get so much extra swag, exclusive content, and more. Haunted Republic, get a free signed book at the beginning of every season. Last season, we went ahead and for the season 4 premiere, we gave signed copies of The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History by Dr. Tom Woods. The folks at those levels that get the signed book at the beginning of every season loved it. It was a lot of fun. I even got a copy for myself because Dr. Woods is so freaking awesome. And you know, the biggest thing you can do, go ahead and share the show. Be good to your neighbor. Go treat yourself a little bit and tune in next week, America. I'm Rev. W. Martinez. Good night.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemzoRepublic.com.
Hey, this is Lloyd Bailey, the Armed Lutheran, host of the Armed Lutheran Radio Podcast, reminding you that the podcast you're listening to is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out all the great content at selfdefenseradio.net.